What you just heard, obviously, was the opening to Buffy the Vampire Slayer by Nerf Herder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they a nerd rock band, Hex?
I'm told that they are. Like, okay. I have people going, hey, have you thought of Nerf Herder for Nerdapalooza? I mean, their name is with reference. It's rather direct. So, I mean, they have the cred. Like,
didn't they have a song aside. In Clerks?
Yes, they did.
Chewbacca.
What a Wookiee.
Yeah.
That's how, like, you're neglecting one of the original nerd rock bands, Hex. What's wrong with you? Anyway, hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
Triforce Mike.
And I'm Hex.
Triforce Mike.
Oh, boy. All right, we're already off to a great start. Woo! This is the Joss Whedon Microsode requested by the Flan Ninja.
Yeah.
Who is a ninja made out of flan?
No, flannel. He's a flannel.
Oh,
ninja.
Right. We've gone through this before, yeah. Haven't we?
I yeah. like flan better than flannel.
Well, maybe. Okay, let's.
One's taste.
Let's agree to disagree. Oh, he's a ninja made out of flan who wears flannel.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. He only blends in the Pacific Northwest, but. It works, whatever, shut up. All right, so we're talking about Joss Whedon, and it was actually, this is one of the handful of microsodes where someone's actually taken us up on requesting a specific host to discuss a specific topic, and this was requested to be a discussion between Mike and Hex, and of course I'll chime in, because, you know...
You have feelings, too.
I have feelings, too.
And you've been around, you've seen most of this Whedon stuff?
Yeah, most of it, yeah. Yeah, we all have a bit, yeah.
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 Yeah. So let's begin. Joss Whedon.
Joss.
Once upon Whedon. A time, there was a young little Joss named Whedon. And he lived in an enchanted glen in Sunshine Fart Forest.
I'm learning about this right now.
He was haunted by goblins in his sleep.
Oh my gosh.
Those goblins had faces made out of clay, and he'd reshape those faces to look like big, big penises.
No.
No?
I don't know. This is probably true.
This is probably true, but... So, first time I ever saw anything by Joss Whedon, it was a certain movie called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
And that was the best movie ever.
I mean...
Wait, you thought that?
At the time I saw it, when I saw it, I really liked it. I was, you know, 12, 13.
Yeah, something around there.
And I was like, ooh, there's a pretty girl, and she's a cheerleader, and she fights vampires, and the movie made me laugh.
One of them is Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, the movie made me laugh.
Fun fact, mm-hmm. the closer track mm-hmm. is a cover of an Oingo Boingo song, We Close Our Eyes. Oh, wow. I didn't know until I was watching it on TV recently, like a couple of months ago, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is Oingo Boingo, but it's not Oingo Boingo. This is awesome. I love this movie more now.
And what's weird is that why would they cover Oingo Boingo just then? Because Oingo Boingo's career hadn't even ended by that time.
Yeah.
I don't think. So.
Because what was that movie? 93, 92, 94?
Around there.
Because Oingo Boingo formally ended in 95.
Yeah.
And that song, that was no longer popular. That was not even one of the more popular tracks.
I don't know.
I love it, though.
Music nerds, we're here to talk about Joss Whedon.
Oh, yeah, Joss Whedon.
I didn't see the film until it was... I was aware of it, obviously, but I didn't see it until it was on, like, VHS and the first season of the television show had already started.
Yeah, see, that...
And then, yeah, people knew more about the movie than the show, and then the show came out, and...
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a humongous Buffy fan, but I was reluctant... to watch Buffy because of the movie. So I saw the movie because
television shows based on films have such a great track record.
Exactly. And right. So like there was, and I had no idea this connection of who Joss Whedon was at this point.
Because he really wasn't anybody.
He was nobody. I mean,
he was the guy who co-wrote Toy Story.
Yeah, he co-wrote Toy Story.
Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't.
I didn't have IMDb yet. I don't even think it existed. So the Buffy the Vampire Slayer show starts, and being in like the seventh grade and being a horny teenager, the advertising caught my eye because it was pretty girls fighting vampires.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I don't care. I ended up watching the first episode I ever saw Buffy the Vampire Slayer was the episode Angel. I think it was the seventh episode of the first season, and it explains who Angel is. And it's the best episode in season one. And it happened to be the first episode I saw. And I was like, I was in for life at that point. I saw that episode and I was like, holy shit. Fuck everything I know. I watched it religiously from that point, and then in the summer when they rerunned it, I caught up on the episodes I missed. I was hooked. And then season two started, and I was like, you know, and then Spike came along, and I was like, this is it.
He threw his hands up.
I just threw my hands up, and I said, take me away. Take me away, Spike.
My first, like, major experience with Joss Whedon wasn't Buffy or Angel. I didn't really watch those until recently. It was... one summer, a friend of mine back home, I was coming home for college, so it must have been 2001. He's like, hey, man, I'm going to show you this amazing TV show. Unfortunately, it's completely done. I'm going to show you the entire series on DVD.
All 13 episodes like, okay, or whatever.
Yeah, what's the elevator pitch? He's like, Cowboys in Space. I'm like, you have my interest.
And it's funny. It's funny because there are a lot of late come-oners.
Comers on.
I didn't see Firefly until it was done already. Same. I mean, largely, I'd say that's Fox's fault.
I was
interested, but it just wasn't.
I definitely saw episodes here and there on Fox, but like, what the fuck?
I totally missed it. So we sat down, we watched the whole thing. I was sold, in love. Immediately bought the movie. I was always looking for more. Not the movie, but the DVD set. Always looking for more. Always rabid. And then when the news came that they were making the movie, I was so excited. Yeah. And I went to the comic book store to get those comics building up to the movie to get any more shred of knowledge about it.
Yeah, and a lot of comers on came in the Whedonverse because of Firefly.
Yeah.
And I remember at first being a little grumpy about that because I was like, what the fuck? I've been a fan since Buffy had no budget. Like, and then these guys are coming along. But, you know, everyone wants something to be their own. And then in the end, a lot of them, like yourself, went backwards and found Buffy and found Angel and said, you know what? Everything this guy does is fucking gold.
Everything?
And by everything with a reluctant breath, I take it you mean Dollhouse.
Yeah. And I know a lot of Whedonites will say, no, Dollhouse is good for this reason and that reason and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, to be fair, it's the worst thing Joss Whedon's ever done.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Is it better than most television shows?
Yes.
Parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah, parts of it are better than Jersey Shore. You know,
no, all of it is better than Jersey Shore.
Like, exactly. That's what I'm saying is that, like, yes, it's better than a lot of most television out there. Are you better suited playing a video game or reading a comic? Probably.
It's actually kind of at the bottom end of anything in the same category as it. It's like it's worse than Lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse than Life on Mars. It's worse.
Oh,
than,
absolutely. Well,
either of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard the ending of the American one.
I like the American Life on Mars more than I like Dollhouse.
Wow. I believe it. I didn't watch the American one, but...
I mean, Dollhouse is a subject all on its own because that fucking show, it starts off real light, then it gets real heavy, and then a bunch of stuff happens that's way beyond the scope of the budget that they had at the time.
Yeah.
And then it gets continued as a comic book, and I don't really know why, because its fan base is practically non-existent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really... I guess... It's just Joss Whedon and Dark Horse, and Joss Whedon's like, I'm not done
really,
with the story.
Yeah, it was him. He was in love with the story more so than
was
he?
See, I've never actually heard him speak on the subject of it, and I'd be interested to see what he had to say because it's so below the quality of what I expect from Joss Whedon, and it seems like it's such a decent premise that I would expect that it would have been better executed both visually and story-wise if he had more involvement, but maybe he was just as involved as anything. It just seemed like he wasn't there.
I remember... watching Dollhouse, new Joss Whedon show.
Excited.
I'm jumping into this.
Yes. Not going to have another Firefly.
Yeah. Really awkward kind of idea that, you know, Faith from Buffy is like this doll that gets reprogrammed. And so every episode is like...
And it was a tough sell for me because I'm not an Eliza Dushku fan.
I am not either. And so she's like... She gets reprogrammed every episode, and so it's like instead of a monster of a week, I have this character that I can't relate to because she's a different character every episode.
Right.
And I'm like, ugh. And the only character I related to was the FBI agent hunting her. And then it turns out that I read in interviews that he wasn't even in Joss Whedon's original pitch, that the studio was like, hey, there's nothing to make you go from episode to episode. And he's like, oh, that's the beauty of it. Every episode stand alone. And it's like, well, we need something to relate to. And so, you know, the FBI agent became a thing that you were caring about. And then I think it was like the third episode, I don't know, where she was like a backup dancer for a pop star. I almost quit television altogether. I was like, this is so...
Yeah, that was particularly bad. I remember that.
It was so fucking awful that I just was like, maybe I don't enjoy television. Maybe I just want to play video games and read comic books because this is bad. And then I started to question reality and life, and it was a downward spiral.
And then you went back to the internet, and I'm like, well, what else has Joss Whedon done? And then you remembered, oh, that's right, Dr. Horrible.
Dr. Horrible. Oh, brilliant.
So amazing.
Yeah.
So, God.
Like, restored all faith I had in Joss Whedon after fucking Dollhouse destroyed it. And so it was, like, just kind of strange that these two things were happening about the same time, and one was amazing and one was
not,
and in fact it fell apart into a hot sticky mess, some sort of like zombie apocalypse, like
some like zombies but not zombies, and in the future that's like it's really like fucked up and Fallout like, or at least it's supposed to be, except that, and I didn't stick around, I just saw clips of this, but I was just like, I see the concept here and this is way under budget for pulling it off. It looked terrible. It looked like a first season UPN sci-fi show. And if you were at that place in time, you know exactly what I'm talking yep. about. Deadly Games, conceived and directed by Leonard Nimoy.
I still love that show.
Cleopatra 2025.
That was actually not UPN.
Was that WB? Was that what that was?
WB aired that. I don't know if it was one of their shows though.
Right.
Back on topic, I guess we're rounding this microsode out, and it is indeed a microsode because each of these Joss Whedon topics is a subject all in its own. We're
right.
talking about
we could ramble on about man. Firefly about.
I could talk all day about the Buffyverse.
Obviously, there's the Avengers film coming out, which we're all really excited about.
Yes.
If there's anybody who could pull it off, it's Joss Whedon. He has a lot of experience writing ensemble casts. They really couldn't have picked a better guy for publicity reasons or just for practical reasons. And I really hope he gets to pull it off because, you know, I was upset that he didn't get to make his superhero debut with Wonder Woman. I think he would have done a really good job.
Duh. Yeah.
Would he have done a better job, say, like post-Straczynski reboot? I don't know. I mean, probably, because what's happened with her recently is really, really strong. But either way, he's good at writing strong women. In fact, he's one of those guys a lot like Miyazaki, who's got some very interesting kind of femdom complexes running behind his work.
Yep.
I don't know what they are, but they're there, whatever they are.
He likes ladies.
He likes strong ladies.
Eh. Have you ever been with a warrior woman?
Yeah. I got bruises, I'll show you. Beats me up.
Here's maybe something you guys could inform me on, since you are the supposed experts here.
Supposed.
What don't I know about Joss Whedon, like as far as like, you know, where he comes from, what he started doing, how he got his, how do you end up writing a major motion picture, despite the fact the studio took a lot of control away from him? How do you end up there?
Everyone pronounces his name wrong. It's Joss Whedon. Okay.
Oh, dear.
So it's Joss Whedon, and you go, good old Hoss, Joss Whedon, and he's got...
Horse wedding.
The origin of his name is from a horse wedding.
His grandfather married horses.
Yes, for a
in
living.
The Old West.
Yes, and he has a soft baby face, but all of his skin is super soft. And so that is... Because his skin was so soft, when people would touch his face, they would...
No, you're wrong.
That is how he started writing motion pictures, because they would just listen to whatever he said because his baby face is so soft.
I don't know what the real reason is, but I know it's not that.
Well, are you saying I made that up right now?
Yes.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. I am not that smart. Maybe I thought it up earlier, but I can't come up with that on the spot.
Okay, favorite Joss Whedon character of
Spike.
All of the Whedoners.
Spike. Absolutely. Absolutely Spike. Because he comes on in season two as the main enemy, and he's just totally like punk rock crazy, you know, vampire. And then Joss's original plan was to kill him off in season two at a certain point, but... decided not to because he was liking him too much. Everyone was liking him too much. The writing staff was liking him too much. So that's why at the point in season two when he gets fucked up in the church and is in a wheelchair for the rest of the season, that he was supposed to die in that church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's where he was supposed to die, but everyone liked him too much. And then he came back as a reoccurring character, like once again in the next season, once again in the season after
that. And then he died legit. And he still didn't die.
Yeah, exactly. So eventually he became a main Buffy character with a chip in his head, and eventually blah, 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 blah. Then he fucking died for real at the end of Buffy. But James Marsters was like, no, this is the Buffy universe. No one stays dead. I want to keep playing this character. And Joss Whedon was like, well, oh my God, if you don't want to stop playing, I'll write you into Angel. And then that's why he's...
You think they would have had that conversation before he died there, but...
It was probably, who knows, you know? He probably got the script and was like, oh my God, I die. And Joss is like, well, it's this kind of, you know, magic death. And he was like, keep me alive. Meanwhile, you had Anya, who was like, kill me, kill me. She actually said that. She wanted to die. And that's why she was killed. Was that, you know, Joss Whedon's trying to figure out who lives and who dies. And she was like,
I'll take one for the team.
Yeah, I'll take one for the team. While I love this role and this character, I think she needs to end. I mean, this is her conclusion. And that's why she took a blade from a bringer. Yeah, it was sad. Spike's my favorite. Who's yours?
Wash.
Wash.
Hoburn. Washburn. No, Hoban Washburn.
Yep, Wash.
Since the moment.
Well, he played with dinosaurs.
Ah.
Yep.
Like, how did your heart not melt the moment you saw that man?
He was, like, you have this whole crew of, like, rebels and renegades, and basically you have a whole crew of Han Solos.
Yeah.
And then you have this one guy, and he's just the pilot, and he's
sweet. In a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, and he's sweet, and he's nice, and you can't help but like him, and you're just like, this guy is so good. Totally makes sense.
I totally fell in love with him. And every single episode, like the Wash-centered episodes, like Prisoners of War. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh.
One of my favorite scenes, and it's not even a Wash scene, but it kind of is. Mal is getting tortured.
Yeah.
And Zoe's like, they're like, choose your husband or Mal. And she's like, my husband.
Yep.
It's like, not even.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to
like struggle with that? No, not going to happen. I'm going to choose Wash. Yeah, yeah. We're all going to choose Wash.
Oh, I mean, there are so many reasons why she did that besides the fact that she loves him.
Yeah.
She loves him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
By the way, Wash fans, if you don't read the Serenity comics, you really need to. Particularly, man. There's a one shot called Float On.
Written by Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. Which is weird, I know, but just go with it.
It's really well done.
You're going to really want to read that if you haven't read that. If no one spoiled it for you, you're going to want to read
that. We're not going to spoil it for you.
It's got Wash on the cover. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right. For me, it's that guy from the last episode of Firefly.
Oh, the bounty hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jubal Early.
Wow. Okay. Good one.
And he's like,
when I say I'm a brown coat, I ain't fooling.
All right, you true.
What's his line about a lion?
Oh, are you a lion? Am I a lion? Well, I have a mighty roar. No, I asked if you're a lion. Oh. Huh.
Now, just watch me be wrong about this and say that entire thing was scripted by Joss Whedon, but I think that was a very much a Joss Whedon scripted episode. Hopefully I'm not wrong about that. He's got a lot of characters he's very good at writing, but for one episode, he pulled in a guy who is so perfectly Joss Whedon-centered and is some of the sharpest character writing he's ever done, and it's great because it's just one guy. He never got a chance to come back, and I'm glad for it. I was just this one standalone moment where you're like, God damn, Joss Whedon's a good writer.
Yeah.
That character was so crazy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. Really.
Oh, man.
Really
fucking great. That episode, that is such a... Objects in Space, such a...
Yeah, it's a good
one. That's how much I am obsessed with the series, that I know the name of every single episode.
Well, admittedly, Hex, it's only one season.
I know, but it's like...
And it's like half a season.
It is half a season.
It's the length of season there's one
of
Buffy.
There's no other bit of pop culture out there that I've disseminated so much that I've torn apart every single square inch.
Wow, he inseminates and tears apart. I don't want to get too close to him.
I do.
That I know, like every bit of information.
Yeah.
Like, that is my passion for Firefly and for Serenity.
And on that note, we're going to close. And what we're going to close with is a track from the Adam Warrock Thought Criminals joint, the Brown Coats mixtape. Hex, we played a lot of tracks from the Brown Coats mixtape, but what track are we going to play tonight?
We are going
to play... Or whenever you're listening to this.
We'll be playing Serenity.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Once again, a microsode brought to you by the Flan Ninja, and it is due to a generous support from listeners like you. Without you, we couldn't possibly do Nerdy Show, and we are eternally grateful for all the wonderful love that you show us, keeping the show alive, keeping all our shows alive. So thank you very much. I couldn't say what support drive is going on in this very month that you're listening to this episode, but whatever it is, you can just head over to nerdyshow.com and check it out. They do change from month to month, and there's all different kinds and all different bonus perks. Maybe you'll even earn yourself a microsode like this. So
that'd be special.
It would be special. So just go to the site and find out how to do that. Thanks for listening, guys. I'm Cap.
Triforce Mike.
Bye, I'm Hex, and enjoy.
Together, living on the outer limits of life, just terraform planets, worlds from rock and granite, dirt and tumbleweeds blow, but nobody'll panic. Where it's so quick that friends turn to enemies, I'm just trying to find my own dose of serenity. This is our new Rebel Alliance, 2517. Fight for your right for independence, free from meddling from corporate heads, and just the chance to stretch imaginations wide. Nobody can tell us. We make the music like they made the old West. Clans who stick together succeed despite the stress, from trying to find a home amidst the wasteland we see. But you can't take the sky from me. It's like, take my love and take my land, take me to a place where I cannot stand. Yeah, I don't care, cause I'm still free, and you can't take the sky from me. It's like, take these words and take these beats, take me to a place where the crowds fill the streets. Yeah, I don't care, cause I'm always gonna dream, and you can't take the sky from me. And still it burns like the light of a firefly, and our coats are brown and our eyes are wide. We walk the thin line between right and wrong. Sometimes you gotta bend the rules when you're out here this long. It's like the music to this song, yeah, we sampled it, cause we got a pure love for the culture. Best believe that we're fans of it, cause everything's shiny, everything is beautiful. This is fan culture told now in musical form. We hold a torch for the battle of Serenity Valley. We ride a horse as we're running from the bandits and baddies. We try to help when there's people in need. All we ask for is space for my people to breathe, please. Maybe you weren't a fan of Westerns or the Fox Channel. Maybe you hated rap music, that's understandable. Maybe it opened your mind for all to see, and now the sky is a place where you long to be free. It's like, take my love and take my land, take me to a place where I cannot stand. Yeah, I don't care, cause I'm still free, and you can't take the sky from me. It's like, take these words and take these beats, take me to a place where the crowds fill the streets. Yeah, I don't care, cause I'm always gonna dream, and you can't take the sky from me. And it starts from a spark in the heart of a fan, and it moves to a fire across the woods in the land, and it lights up the night, and you bathe in its warmth, and together we found each other, and still we find more. This the beauty of loving the things you love, cause what started from a show went above, found so many others, sisters and brothers from another mother. Together we huddled and we spoke to each other in a code, so now you know. And I don't need no gold ram, critics and haters, all I need is the crew of these sinners and players. Cause adventures in the skies like the dreams in our minds, and we hold the love close, feel it so deep inside. And still it burns like the light of a firefly. What started small spread wide over time, and it filled up the night sky, it blew our minds. And this light will never die, no, never die.
Hey fandom, it's me, Aaron Holland, and I the number two big shot in Orlando, and I hired Michael Pandel, which was the best decision I ever made. I want to thank you all for listening. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, at the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions and comments or complaints, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. Feel free to listen to more episodes of Nerdy Show at nerdyshow.com or the iTunes store by searching for Nerdy Show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Nerdy Show. There, I did it without being racist. Are you happy? I'm Aaron Holland and I'm a racist.